Although our instinct may be to keep everything disinfected and as clean as possible when there's a baby in the house, there's growing evidence that some dirt might be good for us, especially for babies developing their immune systems. Dr. Joel Weinstock, Chief of Gastroenterology and Hepatology at Tufts University Medical Center in Boston, joins us now to explain his research on microbes and the immune system. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Can you first explain the hygiene hypothesis?
Yes. The hygiene hypothesis simply states that when you live in very, very, very clean environments, the lack of exposures to some of the natural organisms that we are exposed to during normal living leads to immune dysregulation that causes disease.
So do we wash our hands too much? Should we take those signs out of our public restrooms?
Well, we don't know what type of exposures are the most healthy. During normal living, as we grow up, we eat soil, we play in the dirt, and we're exposed to thousands and thousands of different organisms that don't hurt us. And at the same time, our immune systems are growing. And those organisms are important for developing the regulatory side of our immune system so that people who aren't exposed to these things tend to be more prone to immunological diseases. And now, what aspect of exposure is healthy for you? Not washing your hands or showering less, we don't have any data along that line.
What about using antibacterial soaps?
Well, it's been recommended for many years that people avoid that because it can cause skin problems. Now, my specialty is gastroenterology, but this is the general recommendation.
Aren't microorganisms prevalent in normal, healthy people?
In our GI tract, about half the dry weight of our stool, the bowel movements that end up in the toilet, is living organisms. We're packed with billions of bacteria, helminths, worms, other types of organisms that have lived within our bodies for many, many years. This is the way it's been ever since we evolved. Dinosaurs had flora. We've had it throughout our evolution. It's the way it is. And that exposure has become very important for our health.
Is part of the problem that from a human standpoint, there are both good and bad microbes?
Absolutely. There are a handful of organisms that make us sick. The vast majority of organisms don't make us sick at all. Public hygiene has been very good for us because it eliminated exposures to these organisms that make us sick. But at the same time, we're also throwing out the organisms that probably make us well.
Because when you're killing bacteria and do we use the words bacteria and microbes interchangeably?
You can. There are other organisms than just bacteria, but there are a variety of different organisms that normally are within us.
But we've seen that when we take antibiotics and people get yeast infections, we've killed the good stuff along with the bad stuff.
Yes, exactly. So sometimes antibiotics are our friend, and sometimes they can cause problems. Drinking clean water and eating wholesome food and walking on concrete and wearing shoes prevents us from getting cholera and other bad organisms that killed millions of people in the 1900s. But also, you're not being exposed to other things that are important for you.
Can you tell us about your research with pig whipworm eggs to treat allergies?
Yes. What we discovered is that one of the things that people aren't being exposed to anymore is certain types of organisms known as helminths. And these are worm-like animals that have lived in the GI tract for many years.
In human GI tracts?
A human GI tract. And what's happened in the 20th century due to cleanliness, these exposures have been eliminated. The consequence has probably been a rise in immunological diseases like hay fever, food allergy, inflammatory bowel diseases such as ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, multiple sclerosis. A whole series of diseases have skyrocketed in frequency in the 20th century. So we've been doing some experiments reintroducing some of these natural agents back into the GI tract in an attempt to treat people who are suffering from these diseases.
Are these eggs and the worms that they hatch microscopic?
Well, the eggs are microscopic, but when they hatch, they become worms that you can see with the naked eye.
Really? Oh, so we want to have worms that we can see with the naked eye in our GI tract?
Well, you have billions of bacteria you can't see. This is part of the life that lives within us. And up until the 20th century, basically everybody did have worms in their GI tract.
Well,
I mean, it's scary to think of, but they've been there since we evolved. The human race has been around for 300,000 years and always had these organisms. And suddenly in the 20th century, you eliminate them and there's consequences.
So you're using this to treat allergies. What do they actually do to prevent allergies or to cut back on allergies?
Well, we think they induce regulatory circuits in the immune system. They affect what's called innate immunity. They affect regulator cells. And when these regulatory circuits are heightened, they make you much, much less prone to getting allergies and other immunological diseases. So they promote the control side of our immune systems.
Are pig wigworm eggs prevalent in other countries where allergies are rare?
They are very prevalent in pigs. So that if you raise pigs or near pigs, you'll probably be exposed to this organism.
And that would mean that you develop and you're less likely to get an allergy as a result?
That could be. It hasn't been proven. But people who live on farms near big animals are much less prone to immunological diseases. So you're exposed to other types of helminths as well. You know, the pig whipworm is only one of them. So exposures to these organisms of one type or another may all provide some protection.
A listener asks if a colonic irrigation is detrimental to these microbes in the GI tract.
Colonic irrigation or cleaning out the colon, to the best of our knowledge, has no therapeutic benefit.
It is quite popular. People think that they're cleaning themselves out and getting rid of all the bad stuff.
Well, that was a common practice at the turn of the 20th century. People used to go to spas to clean themselves, and they would take enemas and try to clean their worms out and reduce their flora. And in reality, they could be doing themselves harm.
So you're giving people these pig wigworm eggs. How do you introduce them into our systems?
Well, this is being done by the pharmaceutical industry. There's several trials underway, both in Europe and the United States, and it's working its way through the Food and Drug Administration. The current agent that is classified as a drug is given orally in a solution, and you can't see it because it's microscopic. It's just drinking a liquid.
I've never heard of a drug that didn't have some negative side effects. What about here?
Well, I mean, this is currently being studied, and the side effects have so far been low. I mean, the only things reported have been some transient diarrhea. There's been no deaths or serious side effects because it's something that people are naturally exposed to. There's been never a case report of a farmer with a pig getting sick from Trichuris, so it's not considered a dangerous organism.
And what do you hope that this research will lead?
Well, I'm hoping it will lead to a better understanding of the recognition that humans as animals are not creatures upon ourselves, that we're colonies of organisms, and that the right exposures to the environment around us is healthy, not harmful. It could lead to understanding the causes of certain diseases. It could lead to better treatments of diseases. And eventually, it may lead to ways of preventing disease. So if some diseases are now occurring one in every 200 people, back at the turn of the 20th century, there were one in every 10,000 people. And perhaps if we understand our relationship with our environment better, we can greatly reduce the frequency of inflammatory bowel disease, multiple sclerosis, and some of these other diseases.
What about hay fever? You mentioned that earlier.
And hay fever is another condition that very prominent now and was extremely rare at the turn of the 20th century.
Thank you so much for being with us. Dr. Joel Weinstock is Chief of Gastroenterology and Hepatology at Tufts University Medical Center in Boston.
And thank you very much for inviting me on your program.
Thank you.